read recently about a government study, $3 million study that was done, that said the people that have the most birthdays live the longest. But life's about more than just getting old. If you hang around long enough and have the most birthdays, you'll get old. But that doesn't mean you'll be a classic. But I'd like to talk to you tonight about becoming a classic. There are people in the Bible that taught us that life is more than just getting old. Genesis chapter 5 gives us the descendants of Adam. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. And Seth, after he begat Enos, 807 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years. And he died. Enos lived 90 years and begat Canaan. And Enos lived after begat Canaan 815 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years. And he died. And Canaan lived 70 years and begat Mahalalel. And Canaan, after he begat Mahalalel, lived 840 years, begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. And Mahalalel lived 65 years and begat Jared. Mahalalel lived after he begat Jared 830 years, begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. And Jared lived 162 years and begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. Enoch was a classic. He didn't just live a lot of years and die, but he walked with God and was translated. That's the difference in just getting old and becoming a classic. God doesn't want us just to live days and become old, but he wants us to be classics today. He wants us to be something someday. He wants us to become what he wants to make of our life. He wants us to make a difference in the world and in our living. God wants us to be a classic. Amen. Abraham was one of perhaps millions of Chaldeans. Just one of a bunch. One day I heard a voice that said, "Abram, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord." Amen. And Abraham separated himself unto God. God said, "Go to a place that I will show you." He came out from his kindred. He followed the voice of the Lord. He journeyed afar. Amen. He walked with the Lord. He was faithful year after year after year after year. He walked with God. Abraham became a classic. Abraham, you talk about doing it your own way. He didn't. He did it God's way. Frank was wrong. Abraham walked with God. Amen. He did some amazing things. When he was 100 years old, his wife was 90. He had a boy. Hallelujah. He bore a son. His wife bore a son. And God gave a promise. He was a classic. He wasn't like everybody else. He marched to a different drummer. We preached the other night. He took 318 men and conquered five kings and their armies. Because Abraham was a classic. Abraham refused the fortune of the king of Sodom because Abraham was a classic. Amen. He wasn't like everybody else. Amen. He stood up. He was different. He became a great man. Man by the name of Noah, God said, "Noah, build an ark. The world thought he was a nut. He built an ark. God sent a flood. Noah got in the ark. God shut the door. For all of you that think the majority's right, this proves you wrong. Noah went in the ark, a very small minority. He came out of the ark, the great majority. Amen. Noah was a classic. He wasn't like everybody else. Amen. He listened to the voice of God and obeyed God in the face of jesting and ridicule. But he stood up for what God said. He stood up for what was right. And God made him a classic. David was just one of some brothers. Seven older brothers. He was just the kid left to watch the sheep. Amen. David became a classic. Hallelujah. You think you're the youngest tonight? You don't think you might amount to much? But let me tell you something. God can take your life and he can make you a classic. Doesn't really matter what everybody else thinks. Amen. While others were in the foxhole, somebody said they had a suntan from the eyeballs up, because that's all they do, look out of the foxhole and see old Goliath standing on the battlefield, and they were afraid of their own shadow. David walked on the battle scene. Amen. He said, what is going on here? They said, well, this man, he keeps calling for a man to come out and fight with him, but he's big. He's a giant. Nobody can stand against somebody like Goliath. David said, what shall be done to the man that conquers him? He said, well, first of all, he's going to be exempt from taxes. That'll make anybody want to fight. And then he said, the king's daughter is going to be given him in marriage, and he'll become the son-in-law of the king. Amen. And great rewards and riches. And David said, all right. Amen. He said, I'll fight with him. Amen. David was a classic. He went in and Saul said, hey, I want you to take my sword. Nice, shiny sword. Never been used. It's nice. It's the first class sword. I mean, it's the king's sword. And here, put on my armor. David had all that mess on. He said, I had never tried any of this stuff. He said, but I know one thing that'll work. I know something that'll work. And he took a little sling and he took five river rocks. Amen. There's all kinds of reasons why he took river rocks. Somebody said Goliath had four brothers and he was ready for all of them. I think that's a pretty good illustration. Others said that no, it stood for J-E-S-U-S. I'm not real sure what it stood for, but David was ready. He just marched out on the battlefield. You come to me with a sword and a spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord God of hosts. Hallelujah. When you go in the name, it makes you a classic. Amen. Let the stone fly. Hit Goliath right in the forehead. Giant fell down. David jumps up, grabs his sword, hacks off his head, grabs him by the hair, and chases off the enemy with a bloody head. They ran for their lives. They chased them, whooping soldiers till sundown. Amen. David wasn't through. He'd been all his life. Every time he looked out of his backyard in Bethlehem, he saw up on the hill there was a Philistine stronghold. And David watched up that hill, and he slammed that head down on a spike on the door, and he was telling that city, he was saying, you're next. Amen. And when David was anointed of the Lord and became the king of Israel, the Bible says that he made Jerusalem his capital. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what he made Jerusalem. David became a classic because he followed after the footsteps of the Lord. Amen. Three young men were captured in things. You talk about things falling apart. It was just about graduation day. And these young men were the cream of the crop. And they had a great future ahead of them. And the Bible says that God delivered Israel into the hands, or Judah, into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. You talk about changing plans. They were getting ready to graduate. And here they are, captives in a strange land. Let me tell you something. Whenever you think God jerks the rug out from under, he didn't. He's just going to prepare a different route for you. He's going to make you a classic. So they come, and here they are. They're way afar from home, and they're in Babylon, and they're captives in a strange land, and things are really weird, and weird stuff to eat. And the Bible says they called the captain over them together, and they said, "Hey, can't we do something about this food here?" He said, we're not used to eating ham hocks and pork chops. Matter of fact, that's forbidden for us. We can't have that kind of stuff. So if you would just bring us veggies, and we'll drink water instead of wine. And I know that's different. I understand it's not like everybody else is doing. But if you'll just allow us to do that, just give us 10 days, and you'll see that we'll be better off than the rest. And they were. You see, hear me, young people. You got to learn to say no early in life. Let me say that again. You got to learn how to say no early in life. Classics learn how to say no. Classics learn how to have a backbone. Classics learn how to stand up with conviction for what they believe in the face of everybody around them. They develop convictions in their life. They develop strength in their life. They make God first and say, "I will follow Him come what may. And if God be for us, who can be against us?" They were classic young men. The Bible says when it came time to stand before the king, the Bible says they were 10 times wiser than the rest. Amen. It's time to grow some backbones, get some strength in your spine, and stand up. Amen. In this world, learn how to say no to some stuff. Amen. Praise God. It's good for you to learn how to say no to the wrong thing and say right yes to the right things. Amen. Praise God. You know, there came a day when they really needed it. They marched them out on the plains of Shinar, and the trumpet blasted, and they said, "We want you to bow down before this golden image." They had so much starch in their backbone, they wouldn't bow. Amen. And they learned how to say no again. And they brought them before the king. The king said, "Now, boys, you may not understand this, but I'm bound by the law here, and if you don't bow, we're going to have to throw you in a fiery furnace." And they didn't even stutter. They looked the king right in the eyeball, and they said, "Sir, our God is able to deliver us out of your hand, but whether he does or whether he doesn't, he's going to get us out of here." Amen. And they were saying, "Well, if we go by death, that's fine, but he's going to get us out of this mess." Amen. "Go ahead and play the trumpets if you want to, but we won't bow." You talk about a classic. The Bible says they didn't bow. And sure enough, they heated the furnace 7 times hotter than it had ever been before. The Bible says they bound them. And the men that threw them in the fire was so hot, it consumed the men that threw them in. And everybody was gathered around watching this horrible punishment. And they looked down in this fire, and the king had astonishment written on his face. He said, "Did not we cast 3 men bound into the fire?" He said, "I see a 4th man, and he's in the fire, and he looks like the Son of God." Hallelujah. Hear me today. God may extinguish the fire, and that would be a miracle. But if he doesn't extinguish the fire, he'll go with you into the fire. And that will be God's amazing grace in your behalf. And he had to call them out of the fire. They're having a pretty good time in there. Things were just getting heated up. Amen. Hey, when you're with Jesus, it doesn't really matter. You can be in the fire. You can be in the flame. You can be wherever. It doesn't matter. As long as he's there, everything is going to be all right. So they called him out of the fire. Amen. He said, "No God delivers after this sort." Amen. And he made another decree. He said, if anybody says anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he said he's going to be cut to pieces with a sword. I guess they got the message. I didn't read about anybody getting cut up. Amen. You talk about classics. Amen. These men are classics. Amen. Hey, they didn't just get old. They stood up. They stood for something. We've been reading a story for thousands of years. Amen. Preachers been preaching sermons about these young men for thousands of years because they were not just like everybody else, but they stood up. They stood out. They made a difference. Amen. Praise God. They were classics. Praise the Lord. Weren't like everybody else. You talk about a classic. You know what I love about Jesus? Jesus came to a common place. He was born you talk about a common place. There was no silver spoon in his mouth. Matter of fact, they don't think they even had a spoon. Was born in a manger, a feed trough, a strange place. Amen. That's about as humble as you can get. His beginnings. It didn't get much better than that when he got home. He was raised in a small carpenter shop in a little obscure town by the name of Nazareth. As a matter of fact, Nazareth was such a hick town. Whenever somebody said something about Jesus, they said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Ha ha. Snicker, snicker. A little old hick town like that, nothing good ever going to come from there. Amen. Raised in a carpenter shop, calluses on his hands. Amen. Raised up with just a common mother, a common father, and a stepfather, just raised in a situation and in a minority that was hated by much of the world. Had a common name. In the time of Jesus Christ, the name Jesus was as common as Joe used to be. I say used to be because I was looking at names on the graduation the other day. There wasn't a common name on there besides David. Amen. Whatever happened to good Bible names? Amen. I'm not going to preach on that. I'm just asking. Amen. Praise God. And we got all kinds of interesting names, don't we? Praise God. I don't get in trouble if I go there much longer, so I'll march on. Amen. Common name. Common family. Common background. Everything about Jesus until he was about 30 years old was common. He didn't do anything unusual. In school, he was a good student, but he didn't make clay pigeons fly. He didn't stretch boards that were cut too short. He didn't do any of that. Just like everybody else. Just a fine, fine young man. Just a good person. Amen. But all that began to change. He went down one day to get baptized. And let me tell you something. If you get baptized in Jesus' name, amen, in faith and in sincerity, things are going to start changing in your life. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'll never forget the night that I was baptized. You talk about feeling clean. Amen. I felt everything was washed away. All of my guilt, all of my shame, all of my past, all buried in the water beneath the blood by the name of Jesus Christ. And things began to change in my life from that day forward. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. There was a difference, and my, what a difference he made. Amen. The Bible said, never man spake like this man. We've heard a lot of preachers, but nobody preaches like this with such authority. Not knowledge is a wonderful thing, but he preached with more than that. Amen. Praise the Lord. What an extraordinary life. Completely lived for the benefit of others. Foxes of the field have their dens, and the birds of the air have their nests, but the Son of Man hath not to where to lay his head. Amen. But you talk about turning the world upside down. Praise God. They're talking about emptying cities that would come out to hear him preach, and we witness and recipients of his miracles. Amen. What a life. What a life. Amen. What a death. What a horrendous death. What a tragic death. Hang between two thieves. Amen. What suffering. What shame. The Bible said that he endured the shame for the joy that was set before him. What does that mean? That means he wasn't looking at the suffering and he wasn't looking at the pain, but he was looking at what the crucifixion was going to buy for somebody else. He was saying, I've got to go through this, but when I get through going through this and I draw my last breath and I march through the corridors of the dead and I march out with the keys of death and hell and the grave, I'm going to buy something back that was sold a long time ago in the Garden of Eden, and I'm going to redeem Abraham and Isaac and Jacob all the way back to Adam and Mama Eve, and all the way down to 2009 in Athens, Texas, in the First United Pentecostal Church. He said, I bought something. I paid a price. I'm going to buy some classics. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God, an ordinary life, an extraordinary life. Amen. He wasn't like everybody else. Amen. Now, there's two ways to be different. You can be different in a rebellious way. And that's been tried until there's not much difference anymore. I mean, rebels have become the norm. You know, profanity used to be shocking. Yeah. Now it's just sickening. Yeah. It's not special anymore. Amen. And you know, people have always tried ways to be the rebel because they wanted to stand out for the glory of the flesh. Look at me. It's all about me. It's what I want. It's what I want to be. It's me, 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 me. That's one way to stand out. But those are not classics. They just die and another one takes their place. And they die every day by the hundreds of thousands and millions. And they're just forgotten. And another rebel takes their place. It's like reading the book of Genesis. He lived and he died. But then there's classics. There's people that heard the voice that Abraham heard. That said, come out. Be separate, saith the Lord. Amen. And they lived their life. Not selfishly. But they lived their life to help others. They lived their life to make a difference. They live a life following the footsteps of Jesus Christ, the greatest classic that ever lived. Amen. Don't just grow old. Be a classic. Be something. Be somebody. Make up your mind tonight. I'm not going to live my life just like everybody else lives theirs. Amen. I'm not going to do things just because people tell me that. Well, that's just the way it is. That's where it's at. Mm-mm. Oh no. Oh no. It's not any different. Everybody's doing that. Drugs, that's, you know, everybody does that. That's no big deal. Alcohol, that's no big deal. Everybody does that. Addictions of every kind, everybody does that. That's no big deal. Righteousness, now there's a path worth following. Doing the right thing, regardless of what it costs you. Grow a backbone. Get some convictions. Learn how to say no. Learn how to stand up. Learn how to stand out. Learn how to come apart from the world and be separated and be righteous for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Become a classic. Become a classic. I wonder how many fishermen there were in the world at the time of Jesus. Lots of fishermen. But three became different. A man came by one day and he said to these three fishermen, he said, "Follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men." Did you notice what I said? I will make you to become. That's not what you are right now. You're far from it. But I will make you to become. I'll put the power in you to be different. Amen. Huh? And were they different? You know what they said about them? A little bit later, it said, "They that have turned the world upside down have come hither also." Amen. They'd start out saying, "Why, they're nothing but a bunch of ignorant and unlearned fishermen." But when it was all said and done, hallelujah, they were saying, "They're turning the world upside down. They're in Rome. They're in Caesar's palace. We can't keep these Christians out. They're everywhere. They're taking over the world like a plague." Amen. Praise God. You talk about being different. Amen. One of them was a tax collector. When Jesus said, "Follow me," Matthew got up from his table, and all he took with him was his pen. Amen. A little later, he wrote a little gospel called Matthew. Amen. Became a man of God. Became a great Christian. One of the apostles of the church. You talk about different. Be a classic. I don't know if there's anywhere you could even find the names of other tax collectors. I doubt there's anywhere you could even read about the other fishermen that lived in the time of Jesus Christ. Their name might be hidden somewhere beneath a lot of dirt on a headstone. I don't know. But I know one thing. Three men came out and said, "We're going to be a classic. We're going to follow Jesus Christ." And we're still preaching about them almost 2,000 years later. And we still read their letters every day and gain insight into life and the successful life because they became classics. One of them was a Pharisee. He said, "I wasn't just a Pharisee. I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees." He was trying to do everything he could. Amen. Matter of fact, he was trying to be so right that he hated anybody that was different than him. He said, "I persecuted the church." But one day on a road to Damascus, with letters of imprisonment and persecution in his pocket, the sun was shining strong at noonday. And the Bible said there shone a light that outshone the sun. Knocked him flat on his back off of his beast of burden. He looked up blinded by the light. And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" If you want to know who the Lord is, just listen. The Lord said, "I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest." How was he persecuting Jesus? He was persecuting the body of Christ. You hear me well tonight. If you attack any part of the body of Christ, you're attacking Jesus himself. You gossip against your brothers and sisters. You talk bad about your brothers and sisters. You're talking about the body of Christ. Now, I don't know how it is with you. You talk about my wife, I'll get stirred up. I got the Holy Ghost. There's a limit to what I can do, but I'll go right to the line. Amen. That's cowardly. You know why the devil attacks the bride? Because he can't attack God himself. So he attacks the thing that's closest to him. Amen. And you get to talking about the preacher's wife, and you get to talking about saints of God, you're allowing the same old spirit that was in him to attack the body of Christ and the bride of Christ. and you want to raise the ire of the Lord himself, you start messing with his body and his bride, and you're going to get yourself in trouble. That didn't cost anything extra. We've already taken the offering. Everything on here is free. I think I'm being paid by the hour. Amen. But we're getting through here real quick. Amen. We're bringing it to a close. Amen. Pharisee of the Pharisees. Flat on his back on the road to Damascus. But Lord said, Saul, he said, it's so hard for you to kick against the pricks. Amen. There were those that had gold, you know, and that's how they kept the oxen, and that's how they kept the beast of burden going straight, because they'd start getting to wanting to wander, and they'd get punched with a sharp stick, and they'd say, whoops, wrong way, and they'd come back and get in the middle and go again. He said, it's hard for you to do that, isn't it? And so he said, who are you? He said, I'm Jesus. He said, I want you to go to a place called, street called Straight. That's a good place to be. And he said, I'm going to send a man by the name of Ananias. Amen. He said, and he's going to lay hands on you, and you're going to get your sight, but you're going to get more than that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when the Lord talked to Ananias about going to pray for Saul of Tarsus, he said, are you sure? That man's got a reputation. And I love what the Lord said. The Lord said, He said, I want you to go and pray for him, restore his sight. And he said, and I will show him what great things, listen to this, he will suffer for my name's sake. Paul was called to suffer. Amen. Would you be willing to accept that calling? Well, we like to preach about the Apostle Paul, don't we? But he was called to suffering. You talk about a classic. You talk about a man with a backbone a mile wide. You talk about somebody full of conviction. Amen. That was the apostle. When Ananias laid his hands on him, his eyes opened up, and he could see again. And he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And he began to speak with other tongues like everybody else who got the Holy Ghost. Amen. Matter of fact, somebody said the Apostle Paul wasn't for talking in tongues. Well, I thought he was, because he said, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. Kind of sounds like he was. And the same letter that people try to twist his words to make it sound like tongues are not for us today. Amen. That verse that says, yet in the church I'd rather speak 5 words in my own language and 10,000 words in tongues that I might teach others. Amen. They skip right over those first words, yet in the church. If I was teaching this lesson in Ubangi tonight, most of you wouldn't get it. It wouldn't do a lot of good. Might impress somebody. Kind of like sitting in somebody's class or listening to some fancy sermon. Somebody preaches with a lot of big words. Amen. And you get through and say, whoa, that was a great sermon. What did he say? I don't know, but it sure was good. You were impressed, but you weren't very much helped. Amen. Jesus used big words like fish and water and sheep. Stuff real deep, way over people's heads. Amen. He wanted to be understood. He wanted to communicate, because he was a classic. He wasn't just trying to impress people. He was trying to save people. Amen. Praise God. So Paul, he preached the word of the Lord. Amen. And he became not just a Pharisee. You know, you'd be hard-pressed tonight, maybe in some old dusty tome somewhere in some library, you might be lucky enough to find a book that had a few Pharisees' names in it. But every day I read his name. He wrote 2/3 of this book right here, or the New Testament, I should say. 2/3 of the New Testament. Amen. And we constantly reading his words and preaching from his writings. Amen. My, what a classic tonight. What a classic. Amen. Don't just grow old. Become a classic. Become a classic. Amen. Well, how do you do that? Well, let me just tell you how it starts. The same way it started for everybody else. It starts with a calling. It starts by obeying the calling. That's where it starts. Well, how do I get called? You're being called right now. There's something that's moving on the inside of you. There's something that's calling you. There's something that's stirring in you. And that's what that is. That's the Lord stirring you up and wanting you to draw near to Him. And after you're called, you just simply obey. Amen. Man that's built the largest Christian church in the world, they said, "How did you do that?" He said, "I pray and I obey. I pray and I obey." That's what it boils down to. Hear the call, obey the call. Amen. Just follow Him. He'll make you a classic. Let's stand together tonight. God has a different value system than this world. Those that He looks upon and the things that He looks for is different than what the world looks for. There are people that will be heroes in heaven that whose names are not known on the earth. There are sweet little ladies like my dear mother that knew how to pray and touch heaven. That we be heroes in heaven. That we'll reap great rewards in heaven. Their names are not known here, but they will be known there. And they'll be classics. As a matter of fact, when the trumpet sounds, if your feet get off the ground, you'll be a classic. That's what's going to make heaven different than earth. Amen. Become a classic. Don't just grow old. Somebody tonight want to listen to that call? Would you obey the Lord? Would you? He's calling right now. Please listen and obey. Young people, don't sell yourself short. Don't sell out. Don't become just like everybody else. Don't settle for the mundane. Get a hunger for holiness and for heaven. Be different. Be classic. Amen. Come out. Be separate. Amen. Let me open this altar tonight. Somebody can respond. Somebody can come. Somebody can give their life to the Lord. Somebody saying, "I just don't want to just grow old and die. But I want to be a classic. I want to be Jesus, what you want me to be." If you could take fishermen and turn them into apostles, tax collectors and Pharisees, you can do something with me tonight. You can do something with me tonight. I want to give you my life, Lord. How about it? Somebody respond right now. Come on down to this altar. Turn your life over to Jesus. Let Him make you a classic.